We are meek souls, will receive him still. The dear Christ enters in. Please be seated. Good morning. Besides being a sap for Hallmark Christmas movies, one of my favorite holiday films is The Bishop's Wife. It's the story of a suave angel named Dudley, played by, who else, Cary Grant, who comes to Earth to save a woman, Loretta Young, and her Episcopal husband, played by David Niven, from their spiritual doubt and a lack of love of life itself. The movie actually premiered here in New York on December 9th, 1947. Now everyone is charmed by the angel Dudley, even a non-religious professor played by Monty Woolley, one of my own personal favorite actors. Everyone is charmed by Dudley, that is, except Henry the Bishop himself. He's too obsessed with his desire to build a cathedral, to the detriment of his family and his relationships. He seems to have lost a sense of the true purpose and the meaning of life, a life lived in Christian community. Now, it may seem odd to all of you for me to, on this Advent 2 sermon, begin with a Christmas movie. We need to focus on anticipating Christmas, John the Baptist, and repentance. And it may seem a bit odder for me to throw a Christmas carol into the mix, but here goes. One of my favorites is O Little Town of Bethlehem. The third verse always grabs me. Here it is. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the wondrous gift is given, the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Now let's take a moment to let those words sink in. Silently, the wondrous gift is given. Given to me, given to you, given to us. God imparts to us his heaven. It's the gift of stewardship. No ear may hear. We are often all too deaf or too fearful of the darkness. There is certainly too much sin and too much disbelief in this life, too much clatter that obscures us receiving the gift. But in this world of darkness, the dear Christ enters in. Now, the film The Bishop's Wife and these beautiful Christmas lyrics aren't at all in conflict with the message of the Baptist, who is the iconic figure of this Advent season. John's a persuasive presence throughout Advent, isn't he? Now, let's admit, he's not as suave as Dudley, and he's not as eloquent as the lyrical message of the hymn, but he's as persistent in his message, and let's say he's charming in his own way. Venture into the darkness, into the wilderness, John bids us. Recognize that there is work to be done. And as good stewards of the light, let us all build the reign of God here on earth. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, this is a particularly important message for us this year. Let's stand ready to discern what we've learned from our wilderness experience of this pandemic time. Let's reflect this Advent on our relationship with God and how we can be courageous together to respond to all the darkness with light. For my friends, God is often found in these wilderness experiences. Hope is often born out of places of despair. And as Christians, we believe that light will surely overcome the darkness. Yet it's so easy to lose hope, isn't it? Life in the wilderness seems to persist. There are too many variants of all the ills that continue to plague us. Hatred persists, inequality of wealth thrives, a lack of regard for the common good presses on, and here we sit with yet another school shooting. All of it challenges our awareness of the presence of God and our own capacity to respond to God's people with compassion and with mercy. Let's admit, the path often appears anything less than straight. The obstacles often appear insurmountable, and glimpses of God's heaven seem to be fewer and fewer and fewer. I sometimes find myself asking, where is God? And where is there hope amidst all of the despair of our life? The answer begins here in Advent. It begins with each one of us embracing our faith with a real desire to live as beacons of God's hope in a world that so desperately needs us to do so. John baptized as he prepared people for Christ. Our own baptisms claimed us as Christ's own forever. It set us apart to let the Spirit work within us, to make the old new, to transform a dying world by us breathing life, breathing new life into it. This Advent is an opportunity for each one of us for silence and for prayer. Let's set aside more time to reflect on what we've learned from life during this pandemic, to understand what draws us all away from God, so we can unwrap the true gift that surrounds us to find the light that permeates the darkness. But it starts with a willingness to do the hard work that we all need to do, to make the spiritual journey, to listen to God's call, to hear and be ready to respond to injustice, inequality, hatred, and the lack of fraternity with all that we can actually muster. Only then will we be able to give a prophetic voice to a vision of a new world that will be transformed by the dear Christ entering in through the incarnation of his love through each one of us. We need to be a Christian people of transformation who are willing to lead a life of faith that is driven by integrity and purpose and meaning. It matters less who we claim to be, for claims can be very empty. If we fail to act on our vision, they are empty. What matters is who we are, what we say, and what we actually do. And although fraught with the persistent challenge and disappointment, our faith assures each one of us, even with our earthly longings and our ideals shaken to the core like they have been and continue to be, light can pervade darkness. Transformation can take place. It all begins with our own belief and our own willingness to actually act. So today, I ask, are we willing to individually and collectively discern God's call during this time? Are we open to a change of mind, a change of heart, and a change of direction? Are we all ready to reorder our choices, and are we willing to work to make God's path straight? Nicholas, whose feast day we celebrate this day in this parish, was known as a wonder worker, a silent bearer of gifts to those places where gifts were most needed. Are we ready to be like Nicholas, wonder workers, and bear gifts, present gifts to our world? Now, in the film, The Bishop's Wife, Dudley the Angel writes the bishop's course. He helps him to find true meaning and purpose in his life. He also gifts him with this sermon, as if sermon writing was so easy. You see the typewriter just typing the sermon without any hands on it. I tried that this week. It doesn't work. Here's the sermon. Tonight, I want to tell you the story of an empty stocking. Once upon a midnight clear, there was a child's cry. A blazing star hung over a stable, and wise men came with birthday gifts. We haven't forgotten that night down the centuries. We celebrate it with stars on Christmas trees, with the sound of bells, and with gifts. But especially with gifts. You give me a book, I give you a tie. Aunt Martha has always wanted the orange squeezer, and Uncle Henry can do with a new pipe. Doesn't this sound so 1947? For we forget nobody, the bishop continued, adult or child. All stockings are filled, except one. And we've even forgotten to hang it up. The stocking for the child born in a manger. It's his birthday we're celebrating, and don't let us forget that. Let us ask what he would wish for most, and then let us each put in his share. Loving kindness, warm hearts, and an outstretched hand of tolerance. All the shining gifts that make peace on earth. So this Advent, I leave you with this thought. Are we prepared to hang and fill the Christ child stocking now and throughout all the days to follow? For where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in through me, through you, through us. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, amen.